Hello everybody and welcome to this, and what this is going to be is sort of me chatting with you because we're here. We're at the end of the Dark Phoenix saga. Now it took a lot longer than I originally planned. It's been every couple of months instead of every month. And in some cases it's been 3 or 4 months, like at the end of last year where there was that big gap. But that's, again, it's just down to the schedules of, as I said before, majority of my cast are working professional voice actors and their work that pays for them to, you know, live comes first. So I obviously, I'm like, okay, you're not going to be able to get it to me just yet. I'll wait and we'll want to get it right. Now, obviously, along the way, we've also lost some more people. I had to do some recastings where the original voice actors weren't able to come back. Originally, I was able to get everybody back. I did reach out to Joe and to Robert, and then in the last couple of months, I've lost contact with Stefan, who did Colossus and Beast. He was going through some family troubles the last time I heard, so I didn't want to press him too much on that. So I just kind of moved on, and if he gets back in touch, we'll see what we can do with him. But at the same time, it has been bittersweet that I did have to replace some of those roles, but it's been 5 years since we originally started this thing. Nobody signed on for, hey, you know, do you want to come back to do this? It was always a volunteer project, and I understood that whenever everybody wanted to go do something else or they were unable to do it, then I would find somebody else to do the role. Now, the new guys, I think, have been spectacular. Keith, it's very strange that all the way back in 2014, it was a case of I advertised for actors on a UK-based website. And so the original voice actors were from like a British talent pool. Omri obviously was an American who was living in the UK, but everybody else was English. And everybody was sending in their auditions. And I got this one that was this very sort of preppy, posh, rich boy version of Warren. Now, obviously, in the comics, he is American, and he's not supposed to be that. But as soon as I heard it, I was like, okay, that works a lot for not only how I have written Warren, but how I see Warren being. You know, giving him this sort of rich, preppy, snooty kid voice makes a lot of sense. And it, when it's an audio drama as well, it also helps to give everybody a distinctive voice. So things such as Xavier having the Patrick Stewart accent or Magneto having the Ian McKellen accent, Warren having that posh British accent gave him a unique voice, so you knew who was talking all the time. And to get around to what I was originally saying, when Keith came along and I said, okay, guys, I'm looking for a new Angel, a new Warren, and Keith volunteered his services, I wasn't necessarily expecting somebody to sound exactly the same. I did say I wanted them to have the same accent, just because why would he change accents? Why would Warren suddenly become American or whatever? So I did say I wanted that sort of southern British voice. So what we ended up getting was Keith, who just basically did a amazing imitation of Robert's cadence, and he made it his own, but at the same time you can tell he is very much following the speech patterns of what Robert did with the role, which is fantastic, because not only does it give you that sense of familiarity, I just think Keith is a fantastic actor. He did such an amazing job with filling that part. He fits that part like a glove. And the same can be said for Joey, who in the last couple of episodes has taken over for Beast and Colossus. Now, Beast especially is very bittersweet because Steve really was that role, especially in the Beast-centric episode, and he was really made that his own. He was fantastic in it, and I really felt like his voice defined Beast in our series. So it was very hard to find somebody else who could do that, but I think Joey's done a fantastic job of doing Beast. And Colossus, I think he's really, really good at, especially in that last episode with the Tavarishes, and I think he's just done a superb job of filling that role. But I do want to thank the original cast members, Joseph Eric, Robert Pierce, and C. Chesterton for everything that they did on the series. I'm sorry that we lost contact, or lost touch, or you weren't able to do it, and I'm glad that guys were able to come in. And quite frankly, if you're hearing this, you should feel honored that the guys that came into those roles basically did imitations of what you did, especially in Keith's case for Robert. But yeah, as we go forward, we are looking into what could be the future. This was where I said it would end. I said, okay, I'm coming back and I just want to do Dorfini's because I didn't want to burn myself out again. I wanted to give myself a select chunk to finish for you guys, to finish what I originally planned back in 2014, 2015. Now, something changed over the course of that, in that when I originally did it, it was kind of like an obligation. I felt like I owed it to people. I felt like since I'd come back with the Power Rangers audio drama and I'd made a lot of the old contacts that were part of the series, I reached out to everybody and everybody was game for it. And here we go, we're doing it. And, you know, the numbers, and as I said, were amazing. So I loved it for that reason. But then I went back and listened to season one and season two, and I fell in love with the show again. I'm definitely not as big of an X-Men fan as I was in terms of when I wrote those, but I'm as big a fan of our series and our version of X-Men as I was back then, because I just remembered everything that I did and I loved. And I did this whole sort of watch through or listen through of my own series, which I sort of did a live tweet thing on Twitter as I was doing, and my thought process. And the fun of doing that, as I said last time, was that I got to experience it the same way you guys did. And it changed my mind and decided to think, maybe we could do a season three. Maybe we could do other stuff after Dark Phoenix. You know, Dark Phoenix is not the end of the line. It's, as the end of the last episode said, it's sort of a beginning of a new era, the 80s era of X-Men, which is one of the most iconic eras that really laid the groundwork for what we think of as X-Men, is, you know, this next period. So it's an exciting time where we're going to bring in a lot of iconic storylines and a lot of iconic characters. So the question in everybody's mind is, are we going to do a season three? Yes, I have decided that as long as everybody is on board and I can get enough people who are willing to do it, and I feel like I am going to go forward and do a season three. Now, it won't be the same as season one or season two. And what I mean by that is it's going to be more along the lines of the Dark Phoenix release schedule, nor is it going to be, okay, we're going to do 10 episodes, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to take it one storyline at a time, one sort of episode at a time, as it were, and just do it when I can, basically, because I can't do the schedule that I did back then. My cast can't do the schedule that they did back then. A lot of the newer cast that have come in are also working with me on the Power Rangers audio drama. It just isn't feasible to do an episode every month all the time. That's not to say that I won't have times where there's two in a month, like this last time, but I'm not necessarily promising any kind of release schedule like that. What I'm going to say is I do want to do more. I am going to do more, but it's not going to be on a regular schedule. It's going to be when I can, when I want to, and when the cast want to. That way, I won't burn myself out again, and I won't disappear for another 2, 3, 5 years, and then nobody's going to be interested at that point. So that way, I can keep myself going by, you know, not having this mountain of iconic storylines ahead, especially as we enter into the era where I don't really want to do like a New Mutants spin-off or anything like that. Now, if anybody wants to do like a New Mutants spin-off and have me as the producer, I would absolutely work with you on that. Yeah, I'll give my email at the end of this. If you want to do a spin-off of the series where you do New Mutants, more power to you, and I will do crossovers and all that kind of stuff, but I'm not interested. And as we get into the era where there is more X-Books, it's going to be harder and harder to adapt, and there's going to be more and more storylines, and do I want to bring Jean back? All that sort of questions come into play as you get later and later on. And yeah, at that point, we're talking years down the line from now to adapt all the early 80s stuff to even get to that. So will I even still be interested in doing it by then? Will the cast still be around by then? Will they be interested in doing it? That kind of thing. So as I said, for the sakes of myself, the cast, I'm just sort of promising one story arc at a time, and which is quite good because the era that we're entering is very episodic. It's very, whether it be graphic novels or single issues or a couple of issues, the stories are very sort of, you know, beginning and middle and end. There's a through line, especially as you do the whole Scott, what happens with Scott thing. There is a through line there of the ongoing story, but it is more episodic. So it lends itself to having this sort of, okay, we're going to do Days of Future Past. Okay, we're going to do God Loves Man Kill. Okay, we're going to do so-and-so with the Wolverine series, whatever. So really just stay tuned for that. I will keep you all updated when a new episode is coming. Keep in touch with me on Scyther Audio Podcasts or Scyther Audio Dramas. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, the Facebook groups, the Facebook page, Twitter. I don't really use Instagram anymore. I do have one. I did promote some Power Rangers stuff at the end of last year, but then it just kind of seemed like an extra, like it's an extra promotional tool, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, I have to, you know, make a photo or use the cover art. And yeah, I'm just putting the cover art again. And you can't even put links on Instagram. So it's just letting people know it's out or that it's a thing. So I didn't really enjoy doing Instagram. So it's just going to be Facebook and Twitter. But I'll keep you all updated. If you want to get in touch with me personally, you can do so at carl.dutton@hotmail.com. And if you would like to be part of the show, get in touch with me, carl.dutton@hotmail.com. And, you know, maybe I'll have a role for you if you would like to be part of the show. Whether that be, you know, writing, editing, or as a member of the cast, obviously. So, yeah, the X-Men Season 3 of the audio drama is going forward. But as I say, it will be episodic. It will be every couple of months rather than every month. And it not necessarily will be everything. It will be, okay, we're going to do this next storyline, and then it's going to be a few months, you know, maybe could be 4 months between episodes. It could be 5 months. It could be 2 weeks. It's just, you know, when we can get them done and when I want to get them done, when I have the time to get them done, they will be with you. So now that we've got that out of the way, let's look back at what was just done, what we just finished. And because of my extended break, it was 6 years in the making. And the main thing we did was, as I said on my big Facebook post that I made on the Scyther Audio Dramas Facebook group, this is saying goodbye to Jean. This is saying goodbye to Natalie Winter as Jean Grey. Now, down the road, if I ever get to the late 80s stuff, would I bring her back? I don't know, personally, because honestly, I think that cheapens the Dark Phoenix storyline in general. I might change that. So I don't know if I would bring her back for that second era. Of course, you then lose the whole stuff with Emma Frost down the road, but really, am I ever going to get onto Grant Morrison's X-Men? Will I finish the 80s and the 90s and stuff? I'll be 50 years old by that point. So let's not get too far with that. I'm not going to bring Jean back just for the sakes of a storyline I may never get to. So for me, this is the end of her story. And we began with her, the very first scene of the very first episode is Jean Grey. The story, really, the through line of all these episodes has been Jean Grey and Cyclops. Omri and Natalie have carried this series, and as I said earlier with the recastings, but those two and Sam and Jason as Charles Xavier, Sam obviously the narrator, those are the iconic voices that have carried the show from beginning and brought it all through to this dramatic finale where we wrote this thing off, we finished this thing off in what in my mind was a pretty great finale, which is the end of the Dark Phoenix saga. Now, obviously, I added Iceman in there as I was talking about going to do. That was a creative choice because I wanted to give it that finale feel of having everybody there, sort of bringing it full circle. It was a shame we couldn't get Joe back so we could have that nostalgia of him being the voice, but I think Alex Justice did a great job at being Iceman in that role. But I wanted to give it that finale feel where everybody comes back and it all comes, you know, full circle. And that's what we accomplished, I think, along with adapting one of the most iconic X-Men storylines, which, don't get me wrong, it's very dated. I'm not the hugest fan of the Shi'ar Imperial Guard, especially how they come in and they introduce, hi, I'm Warstar. Hi, I'm Hussar. I'm so-and-so. It's very Bronze Age. It's very cheesy in places. And I wasn't the biggest fan of that. But at the same time, I only changed stuff that made sense with our continuity or that I thought I could improve on with either hindsight of what I've done in terms of the things I changed the story or things that are coming up. I changed things to make them fit within the series or update the narrative a little bit to make a bit more sense or add something that I think makes a scene stronger or makes a line stronger. And then, of course, the cast, you know, added their parts to it and made it better. Like that last scene, obviously, is not the funeral scene that's in the next issue. X-Men 137, I think it is, or 138, which is the Jean finale. There's not that funeral scene in the next episode. You get the scene, but it's not those words. It's some of those scenes take place, but not all of them. And it's really a whole issue of Cyclops moping for the most part in the issue. So I added that and I added some other bits and some other scenes here and there. But I really wanted to stay true to what Claremont did with the the grand battle and just adapt what he did. Because it's his story, I've been adapting it word for the most part, for the last few episodes especially. So I may as well, you know, adapt one of the most iconic 40-year-old storylines that X-Men has. And so in adapting that very faithfully, you get the problem of doing the Shi'ar the way they are, and I didn't necessarily have to reference, of course, Guardian's silly mohawk or anything like that, but I did the best I could with the Shi'ar as they were on the page. Could I have spent a couple of extra scenes making them less cheesy? Could I have introduced them in a less expositiony way? Sure, absolutely, but it would have taken far too much time to introduce all the characters properly. I decided not to use them in the Phoenix Saga because I felt like it was too many characters. And really, the Phoenix Saga, that whole thing was more about doing a sort of Legion of Superheroes riff. And without that gimmick, they're just kind of a generic superhero group, which is what they were in this. But you can't do the Battle of the Moon without the Shi'ar, so I had to introduce them here. And as a result, you have the whole dialogue of them introducing themselves in a very Bronze Age, old-style comic way. But sometimes that stuff does clash with my newer dialogue and that kind of thing, but I tried to adapt it as best I could, while, as I say, still being very true to what Claremont did. Anyway, before I go any further, I've got to thank, obviously, the actors who made this series what it is. Without it, as I said in the last one, this is just fan fiction. They bring it to life, they make it into what it is, and then I edit it together as best I can. Especially this last episode, the performances really carried it, especially from Omri and Natalie, who have always been great, and then this episode just... Natalie's been absolutely carrying Dark Phoenix with incredible performance after incredible performance, but these last couple of episodes, and especially this last one, oh my god, that scene where she dies, I edited that together. Everybody knows how that ends. Everybody, it's a 40-year-old most iconic storyline. I wrote it, and even I was, going, oh god, when I heard it back for the first time, and then when Declan's music was added, if it stirred me emotionally and I wrote it, and it's one of the most iconic storylines that everybody knows how it ends, it's kind of like adapting Jason Todd dying and being like, oh shit, poor Jason, everybody knows that's coming, but you've got to make it the best possible way you can. And I think we did it. I think we gave Jean a perfect send off, a perfect death. That's very true, page word for word to the original storyline, but it just hearing it come to life, she was amazing, and Omri as well in that scene, and throughout the entire episode. The entire cast were incredible in this episode. Everybody kind of gets their moment to have their monologue and to talk and to have their opportunity. They all get their kind of moment in the sunlight, in the battle, that kind of thing, and I think they all did a superb job in doing so. So yeah, I think I've rambled for long enough. I might do more of these, update you guys on this, and do a sort of more making of sort of thing where I get into more of my thought process and show you guys how I put it together and maybe do like a video of that kind of thing. A lot of you have been asking about that. It's just a case of getting some good capturing software and also being able to talk over it is always an issue with that kind of thing. But I will endeavor to try and do one of those. As I say, I might come back and do some more of these where I talk to you. I might see if I can talk to the cast and get another one where we do it over Skype and have them involved and just sort of making of sort of thing. But yeah, for X-Men season one, season two, what should have been season two, which is this Dark Phoenix miniseries, this is it. I'm going to take a couple of months break, and then we're going to start thinking about Days of Future Past and see who's on board. There may be some more recastings, that kind of thing. This is a jumping off point for anybody who does not want to continue going forward. And we'll see in what form we return. But we will return. As I say, stay in touch on Facebook and Twitter at Scyther Podcasts, Scyther Audio Dramas on Facebook, carl.dutton@hotmail.com. That's Carl with a K. And I will see you later. Thanks, guys.